layer background that I've listened to many of those developments that have been taking place around national health insurance, around the question of free education, around the issues that relate to social security. My biggest question that I had was that all of them, they are about consumption. The question is that you must have something first that will generate potential for consumption. And I think the exercise that we seek to undertake is precisely for that. What is it that we can do positively that will assist and help to respond to all those issues that relate either to on social security, that relates on some of the fundamental challenges. And therefore, I think it's a duty that we have, that as we continue to make and take these initiatives, it is our responsibility to make sure that we assist positively to say, excuse, how do we realize those objectives as a country that seeks to go forward. So the intention of this is not necessarily to, is to look whether the systems that we have in place, are they responding to that? So that's the reason also we've asked the Council for Geoscience. I only made one mistake, CEO. Sorry, DG, to take the powers from you, but we also have got our own powers vested in us. We made one mistake, but it doesn't change with the request. I realized later on, you have an assignment. You are not there, but you put someone who was going to stand in for you. So you will bear the consequences, Mr. Mabuza. Sometimes it's better not to be present so that you say, no, I don't know. We had given CGS a task, which I think we need to put it in writing, together with Mine Health and Safety Council and what is this? MinTech, ne? As well as the, I'll have to think, I think MQA. But mostly, that's why I said, DG, if we had taken your powers, at least we didn't take them negatively. We took them, those powers, because we wanted something to be done. To say that we need these institutions to undertake a research on this, it might be a small crisis, but the consequences are big. How can we mitigate on the issue of the crisis that we are always told is either a seismic, based on seismic events, or fall of ground? So that what we're being told, it can be something that is a direct output of a work that would have been done. So I'm just saying we will still come back to you either through the department to say, can you do that study and probably be able to come back in collaboration. You will decide also which other. So I'm just saying it's something that I think we are still committed to, especially in light of the recent developments that almost every month or less than a month, but I can guarantee you it's not even in 3 months' time. In October alone, there have already been 2 cases reported that have led to 4 lives that have been lost. So, but don't come and say when you make your presentation, it will require additional funding. It's just, it must be within your frame and scope of work. I know when you've got your CFO, every task must be followed with cash related to that. So, but today, mainly we want to focus specifically on the question of the exploration and the expenditure pattern, as well as on the question of that the department will come through on the SAMRAT system, so that we can see, to what extent do we have synergy on the two, and what is it that we think we can do. If there are areas that we might require to improve on, we will then have to do so. But before that, can we go to the standard items? Any apologies?
Good morning, everyone. I've got apologies from Ngozi Mandela, Ms. Makolo, Mr. Khawula, and Mr. Chafta. Thank you.
We've got an apology from Honorable Lorima. I was never told that when you are in the meeting, you must write it. So he has said that you will have to leave in a short space of time. I'm a very jealous person. I never want a member to leave when he's in the committee. So I won't prescribe the time that he said he's going to leave, so that his conscience can talk to him and decide to extend the time. Okay. Honorable members, we will start, ignore if the agenda is there. We will start with the Council for Geoscience, and then we will ask questions of clarity. Subsequently, we will go to the department. I'm sure at that time we will see whether is there any other matters that draws a relationship between the two. CEO, you will introduce your delegation. You know, I'm very conservative with time. They say the enemy of progress is time. So I know you will use your time efficiently. Now, I won't give you, I won't tell you how much time do you have. Fortunately, I didn't carry my watch today. So all what I do is to listen to you. I realize on the basis of concentration that it's more than the time I should have given you. So you don't have the whole day, but there's a sense of time. It's up to you, and then you can introduce your delegation also. Don't ask for a permission from the DG. I'm here. You'll introduce your delegation, and then, even the one who will present. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DG, colleagues. I am led by the member of the board, Mr. Xolisa Vinjelwa, who is representing the chairperson. I would like for him to open the, to introduce us, and then we'll take it from there.
Yes, greetings to the PPC chairperson, PPC honorable members, the DG of the DMR, and all those that are present today. Indeed, our CEO have introduced me. I'm here on behalf of the chairperson of the board as a board member. Unfortunately, the chairperson couldn't make it today due to other engagements. I am honored, PPC members, to also introduce the CGS team. I'm sure you are aware. Next door to me, it's the CEO, Mr. Musa Mabuza. I've also got the CFO behind me, Mr. Leonard Matsipe. I've also got the technical advisor to the CEO, Mr. Ramagwede. And I've got Mr. Christo Kale from there, who's the executive acting manager for Applied Geoscience. I've also got Mrs. Rafilwe Shalembe, also sitting at the back, who's the acting executive manager for geological resources. I've also got Mrs. Michelle Krobler, who's also the acting executive manager for corporate services. Of course, we've got our company secretary, Ms. Tulisile Nkumalo, also sitting at the back. We've also got Valerie Nkumalo, who's the acting executive manager on the strategy unit, also sitting at the back there. And then, of course, we've got Ms. Karabo Mputi, who is the PA to the CEO's office. I think, in brief, from my side, before handing over to the CEO to make the presentation, I would like to just confirm the objectives of CGS coming here. In the main, CGS wants to present the funding challenges in relation to it carrying out its mandate, in the main, that of supporting the DMR. And in particular, I'm sure you are aware that as CGS, in particular with the board, we are working hard with the team in refocusing the mandate, which is that of mapping the country to enable development. And this is again captured in the strategy that has recently been presented to this PPC. And as we all know, transformation is also in the center of CGS, both internally and externally. Furthermore, without wasting time, let me hand over to the CEO who will deliver the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Babu Mvenjelwa. Honorable members, let me start by indicating that we are going through a transitional phase. I have presented to you the structure of the organization that has been approved, and we have sought permission from the board to have all the positions filled by June 2018. And so it is our intention, not in June, but by June 2018. And so the colleagues here, colleagues from CGS who have graciously accepted the responsibility of acting in those roles while we transition towards stability and growth. This is our presentation outline. Honorable members, I will not take you through it in the interest of time. Many of the slides, I will run very quickly through them because honorable members will be very familiar with the slides that we have brought to your attention on several occasions. The key, we thought to illuminate the mandate, the core mandate of CGS as inscribed in its founding act, the Geoscience Act number 100 of 1993, with its subsequent amendment. We list in this slide what is our core mandate, and we listing this mandate to show what has been a disconnect, because in the past, in seeking to survive, we have placed excessive focus on commercial activities. and we have taken our creme de la creme geologists and put them in commercial projects that were generally outside of South Africa. And so as a result, there had been, we had lagged behind in terms of executing our mandate in pursuit of financial sustainability of the organization. It is for this reason that Mr. Mvinjelwa emphasized the importance of going back to our mandate and ensuring that we execute and implement with distinction our legislated mandate. In the amendments of 2010, honorable members, that came into effect in 2012, there are a number of provisions that were held in abeyance. We are getting those provisions put into force at the beginning of the next financial year. And one of the critical, there's quite a number of them, but one of the critical ones is that we will assume the responsibility of being custodian of not only geotechnical information, but all prospecting and mining geology and other geoscience information will now be submitted to the CGS as the custodian of the geoscientific information. And we also have a number of other provisions that we will be putting into force in the next financial year. Honorable members, it is always important that we outline our vision and our mission when we present the organization. Our vision is clearly to have a prosperous, or to work towards a prosperous and transformed society that is enabled by geoscience solution. So in our view, the success of this country rests on a very critical fulcrum called geosciences. It is not only about mineral development, it is about all key aspects of development in society, as we will later outline some of those aspects. Our mission in the main captures what is our legislated mandate, and I will not go through it. As an organization, we pride ourselves in our core values. They are abbreviated ideals. Those are the first letters taken out of the six core values that guide us as an organization, as listed in slide number six in the main. In slide seven, we outline our strategic focus as part of the strategic reorientation that Mr. Mvinjelwa alluded to. These, I will just briefly touch on it. You would see that a key amongst these objectives is the delivery of our mandate. And here we focus on the integrated, thematic, and systematic mapping and research in geosciences. We play a role as the advisory and stakeholder, as well as knowledge management in geosciences broadly. We want to be a well-capacitated institution of state that can deliver that mandate with motivated and capacitated workforce. We drive towards organizational effectiveness and efficiency. And lastly, yet more relevant to today's presentation, is that financial sustainability will enable us to deliver all of the strategic objectives above. I do need to emphasize that we are committed to this mandate and we care as an organization about our stakeholders. In the next slide, honorable members, we are showing the linkages, and this slide is important to us, that CGS does not exist in a vacuum. If you read it from the columns from your extreme right to your left, we start with the corporate scorecard, which is giving effect to the strategic objectives that I have alluded to, and we show the linkages of our strategic objectives to the goals of the DMR as our shareholder department, and how the goals of the DMR are giving effect to the National Development Plan objectives. And so really the emphasis of this slide is the alignment of the work of CGS to the broader work of government, and the extent to which we are contributing to give effect to the developmental objectives of the country. So there's a couple of problem statements that we highlight, and one of them is in this slide 9, where we show exploration expenditure in 2008 and 2015. And we have established a correlation between the quality of geoscientific information and investment in exploration. In 2008, South Africa had 3% share of the global exploration expenditure. By 2015, we had dropped by 1%. We are now at 2%. At the peak of the exploration expenditure in 2012, it was $32.5 billion. But it averages for the past 15 years, $15 billion. So if you take 2% of that, it gives you a sense of what the exploration expenditure is in South Africa. However, we are mindful of the fact that between 85 and 90% of the exploration expenditure is on brownfield exploration activities that are intended to expand existing mines. And our interest is to go back to the 3 and the 5% of the global exploration expenditure based on us executing our mandate and generating quality data that can begin to catalyze exploration activities in the country. So what really is the problem in slide 10? You will then see that we have the two figures there. The one on the left that is not colored, it shows that in terms of both one in a million and one in 250,000 scales, 100% of South Africa has been mapped. Our forebearers have done an excellent job in terms of mapping at that scale. However, when it comes to the scale of one in 50,000, only 5% of the country has been mapped. Maybe let me proceed, and this is about geological mapping, and we also look at other fields of geosciences. In the next slide, 11, you'd see that in respect of high-resolution airborne geophysics, the country has a 30% coverage today, below a third. And in terms of geochemical soil survey, it's approximately 23% of the country that has been covered. And I say, honorable members, that I am sure you have seen a number of geoscience graduates who have now occupied the social media with boards like beggars saying, I have an MSc in geology, I'm looking for a job. So it just doesn't make sense to me that with a country that has 5% mapping coverage at the right scale, a country that is sitting at 30% and 23%, just as examples of how low our investment is, we are told that there is an oversupply of geoscientists in the country. And I really want to argue that South Africa has a gross shortage of geoscientists, and there's no reason why a single geoscientist graduate should not have a job in South Africa under these circumstances. In the next slide, honorable members, we elaborate on the expanded mapping program, as we call it, and what it is really is a detailed integrated mapping exercise with which is multidisciplinary in character. It is about physical, geological mapping. It's about geophysics, geochemistry, and other fields of geosciences, and it focuses on a scale of 1 in 50,000, and we have elected to take a two-prong approach of both thematic and systematic as far as it is possible. And this exercise is both onshore and offshore. Our marine geology knowledge is very low as a country, and it is our submission that the realization of the blue economy cannot be optimized if we have not invested properly in the development of our and the understanding of our geology. And so investment in offshore or marine geology, as it were, as well as the onshore, as I have made the argument a little bit earlier. And so what is this program? You know, normally when South Africans look at us as the Council for Geoscience, they think that perhaps we are an exploration company. We are not. Our job is to generate geoscientific information that is, as I called it earlier, the fulcrum of development, amongst which mineral development as well as upstream development is part. But it also contributes to infrastructure development. Honorable members would recall earlier this year there was a major Daniel Scale sinkhole and various other sinkholes that have been experienced in the country that affect the infrastructure development in the country. So it is important that us as the geoscientists, we can provide this and advise the state accordingly in terms of its infrastructure development program. We argue that it is about food security. When we have collected geochemistry samples and we have characterized the soils at a larger scale as pathfinders, we work closely with the Agricultural Research Council because they are the experts in the details of agricultural development and food security. But we have the understanding of how the geology changes over time. And I can make an example that in the Eastern Cape, there is a huge erosion profile that is changing the agricultural profile of the province as we have understood it over the past many years. Unless we as geologists are able to step in and predict the direction that the erosion is taking and the extent to which it will affect farming at the commercial and or subsistence level, then we will really not be playing our role. We argue that we contribute towards energy security, environmental health, water, geohazards, and we'll talk a little bit about carbon capture and sequestration, amongst others. And so this program, in our view, honorable members, we summarize what the outcomes and or the benefits of this expanded mapping program would be for the country. The first one, which is generally the gravitas point, is that it is important, as we have indicated, for attraction of investment and increasing mineral exploration and development broadly. In fact, in our study, in our comparative studies of various mining and exploration jurisdictions, we have established a ratio that for every dollar that the state invests in geology, it is able to attract between $3 and $5 in a period of 5 years, and it is able to generate $125 from that $1 that it has invested over a period of 20 years. It is a significant ratio which has been confirmed by the Canadians, by the Americans, as well as Australians. And so this activity, in our view, honorable members, is an investment by the country. Of course, this will assist in improving the quality of data, particularly in facilitating entry of new miners in a country like ours that is seeking to resuscitate and grow the mining industry for the next 200 plus years. It will improve the ocean governance that is based on the science in respect and increase environmental stewardship in the context of the blue economy. We argue that it will contribute towards sustainable food security. It will improve our ability, our predictive capability of geohazards that you alluded to in your introductory remarks, Chair. For instance, this fall of ground that is linked to seismicity. We've already are exploring a program in collaboration with the Department of Science and Technology to shift geosciences into the fourth industrial revolution of applying artificial intelligence using the data that we have collected in the seismic stations to predict the likelihood of an occurrence. And we think if that happens, it will be a groundbreaker the world over. We think that we can contribute towards delivering water to communities in areas. There's a whole new field of medical geology that in the geosciences world, it has been established that disease and the rocks, there is a correlation that needs to be studied and confirmed. And we think that this could be a significant study, particularly in the context of not only South Africa, but the continent. Our view is that we will contribute towards socio-economic development and rural development. It is our intention to create a legacy of excellence in geosciences and longevity of what I have earlier called the fulcrum of development in a form of geosciences. This program itself, like the work of the geosciences, has relevance to national developmental programs. We've already alluded, and we are listing them there. Earlier, we have alluded to the NDP, and we list quite a number of other programs of national importance, albeit that the list that we have included there is not conclusive. Honorable members, we touch on some of the projects. I believe we have presented some of these to you recently. The one is our work on the strategic water management. What it is really, part of it, is dealing with the acid mine drainage, particularly in the Kosh, the Fed Station, as well as the Mpumalanga coal fields, and or any other areas that mining activities, to the extent that mining activities might have an effect on the water. It is the study that we do to mitigate the risks thereof. Honorable members, we have a near and offshore mapping program. This is the one that is linked to the blue economy. We have only scratched the surface in terms of our knowledge of the marine geology, and our view is that this is an area that can open a whole new opportunities for the future of the country, balanced, of course, with the environmental consideration to the extent that mining can take place in the oceans. Honorable members will be aware of the shale gas project. We are advancing this project very well in terms of the baseline studies that we are undertaking, and this is assisting government to make decisions and policy decisions that are informed by the sciences. And so that work is progressing well. We have brought to your attention on a number of occasions, honorable members, our program on the management of derelict and ownerless mines of South Africa. And one of the things that I do wish to share with honorable members is that the CGS, we undertake air quality monitoring, particularly in the mines that have asbestos in Limpopo, in the Northern Cape, in particular, where there is a predominance of the asbestos occurrences. And we have found a correlation of dust particles containing asbestos and the health of the communities, or the lack thereof of the health in communities. And in our monitoring, we monitor pre-closure of that asbestos, during and after. And it is very clear that as we close these asbestos mines, there is a substantial reduction in the dust particles that contain asbestos, and we accordingly see an improvement in the quality of the lives of the people living there, because we also work with the local doctors that we share information with. We have a huge network, a seismic network, to monitor seismic activities. We have quite a number of stations in South Africa, but we are connected to neighboring countries, and we are also part of the global network, of the global seismic networks. And this is an area where really we are beginning to gain a deeper understanding of associated geohazards that arise from seismic activities. As the CGS, we are working together with SANEDI and other stakeholders on the commitment that the country has made to reduce the carbon footprint. And one of the, in slide 23, one of the considerations is the option of carbon capture and sequestration. And in that map, you'll see that this is the work that CGS has done geologically. We have identified those black spots as areas, geological areas that are, what's the word, that can be used for storage of carbon that would otherwise be captured. And the Zululand Basin is being earmarked for piloting, and the work in the Zululand Basin is at the advanced stages, in that collaboration with SANEDI and a number of other stakeholders. And getting into the question of the financial consideration, honorable members, in slide 22, we have put together the budget as it stood before we received the preliminary allocation for estimates of national expenditure from both the DMR and National Treasury. And I just wanted to bring your attention to the bottom column there. You would see that if nothing had happened, our allocation had been substantially declining over the MTF from almost 500 million to 350 million rand. And so that would have otherwise made it even harder for us to execute our mandate, and the status quo would have had to be maintained. In order for us to survive, we would have had to continue looking for commercial work at the expense of our legislated mandate. And so in the next slide, we demonstrate the budget for shortfall from the baseline allocation, because our survival is really on ring-fenced budgets for specific projects. So if we were to take just 1 year of 2017-18, our baseline allocation, and again, this is before the receipt of the letter, you'd see that our baseline allocation is below the personnel costs, and that results in a shortfall. And that excludes the operational costs, and that you can spread through the years. And this is in a scenario of no growth in terms of where the CGS is. So if we were not to grow and to continue doing what we do, we would end up with a shortfall of just under 100 million rands in 2021. And so, honorable members would recall that we came and we presented our request in slide 24, cumulatively additional budget of just over 1.8 billion rand over a period of 3 years. And so this is against the 20 billion budget for the 10-year period that we have requested. And the reason we were asking for 1.8 billion over 3 years is so that we can, within a reasonable 3-year period, ready ourselves so that in the outer years we would be ready to implement this program, this national investment program. So in slide 25, we show the preliminary allocation for 2018 up to 2021. And this is where we really want to appreciate the support of the committee, the Department of Mineral Resources in particular, as well as National Treasury and Department of Science and Technology, who have, all of you have really assisted us during the difficult financial climate, and we have been able to be given this preliminary, an emphasis on preliminary allocation. And so here, in the main, the allocation is at the second last row. You would see that what kicks in 2019-20 is an additional 188 million rands. It goes to 198, and I think the total there is 386. Odd million rands that has been allocated to us. But some of the reinforced budgets have also been adjusted upwards in our favor, such as the mine rehabilitation project, the water ingress project, the shale gas project, and so on. But all of them are reinforced projects that I alluded to. So in the main, together, the total that we would have in the 3 years is just over 1.4 billion rand. In the next slide, 26, so we show what the current challenges are, what we have requested against the preliminary allocation. In the next year, we had requested 335 million. We have not received much for that year. In the following year, we had requested 550 million. That's where the 188 has been allocated. And in the outer year of the MTF, we had requested just under a billion rands, and we were allocated just below 200 million rands. The net effect is that out of the 1.8 billion that we had requested, we have indeed received 386 million rands, and the total shortfall from what we had requested is 1.4 billion rands in this 3-year cycle. So we do emphasize in this slide that our total requirement was 20 billion over the 10-year period, with the 1.8 billion requested for the first 3 years. The allocation is to the amount of preliminary allocation is to the amount of 386 million rands for this MTF, which makes it difficult for us to plan in a long term, to employ and develop requisite capacity, and deliver expediently when funding is not guaranteed. So in conclusion, honorable members, we welcome, as the CGS, this preliminary allocation for estimates of national expenditure. We do want to emphasize that we have shifted from excessive commercial exposure, and we are now primarily focusing on our legislative mandate. So the extended mapping program, in our view, will boost the country in part to reclaim its rank as an exploration destination of choice. However, honorable members, we submit that research and development in geosciences is not a short-term business. It's not something that you do today and expect the results tomorrow. It is a long-term business. And as a result, the current model of allocation that we have just presented, which is reinforced in character, impedes us from being a sustainable organization, particularly in the following area, in generating and retaining what we call the creme de la creme geoscientists, who will bequeath the function of geosciences to posterity. It is our intention to create a critical mass of creme de la creme geoscientists who are South African and who can be globally competitive in any aspect of geology. It impedes long-term planning as well as monitoring of our strategic programs and impact. And it is for this reason that, honorable members, we humbly request and recommend that the baseline allocation, not the reinforced allocation, be substantially augmented in order for us to be able to address the concerns that we have raised above. We thank you very much.
Thanks, CEO, for taking through this particular presentation. We are done, Chair, and we welcome questions from the honorable members. I think we've got a big team of scientists that are here with us from the CGS. Thanks.
Okay. Any questions, comment, clarity? Honorable Smith, Honorable Larima. Honorable Biginini. Mabuza knows the style, ne? Yeah. Okay, Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to work by slide. Slide number 4 indicates the provisions held in abeyance. Now, I can imagine that some of those are due to a lack of funding. But one, for instance, the paragraph or section 8, appointment of geotechnical appeal committee, internal appeal process, those do not seem to be quite funding related. What are the reasons for as to what you're aware of as to why these provisions have not been put into operation? That is on slide 4. Slide 20, I'm sorry to say, but the predictability of seismic events in the mining industry is proving to be probably one of our bigger problems. And I get the impression, correctly or incorrectly, I'm not sure which of the two, that there isn't much progress on that particular issue. Maybe I'm wrong. I think we've just, the fatality figure has just decreased recently, and due once again to seismic event. Are you doing enough? You will be saying, of course you're going to say you are, I mean. But I do get the impression that there's nothing new. If there is, please inform me. Is there new development, new technology, new ways of looking at the predictability thereof. Then 25 and 26 basically go along. I'm not so sure that you should be all that satisfied about the money you're going to receive or possibly receive. I've worked out it's probably about 22% of what you've asked you may possibly receive. So if that was an exam, you would have failed. So, Mr. Mabuza, I think we're a far way off to funding the CGS as it should be funded. I mean, 22% of what you should be getting is by no means indication by Treasury that they are taking up CGS important enough. That's my honest view. Talking on figures, not even on anything else. It's basically summed up in slide 26. You've requested a total of $1.4 billion, if I read the figures correctly. You've been granted $386. I mean, it's nothing. It's very little. So I don't know, is there a new approach to the National Treasury? Is there a new way of, new consideration as to how to either approach from the Minister and Treasury, or maybe leave the Minister out, approach Treasury directly? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I'm afraid, have to ask and run, but my colleague has offered to relay the answers to me, so please forgive me for this. Well, I had meant this colleague, but yes, I'm appreciate that. Thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Look, the first one is to do with the mapping on a 1 to 50,000 scale. And it was interesting when we were in Western Australia, they said they thought mapping at 1 to 100,000 was sufficient. Given the budgetary constraints, could you just let us know why you thought it was a better idea? I mean, obviously 1 in 50,000 is better, but given the constraints, would it not have been worthwhile considering mapping 1 to 100,000? Second area is to do with the shale gas boreholes. I'd like to know how many of them have been drilled so far, what progress is. And when you considered the location of those boreholes, were any of the locations changed because of the possibility of uranium mining in the area? The third area is complaints that I get from junior miners about the accessibility of geological data. So can you give us your picture of the constraints on the accessibility of data? And is anything changing in that regard to make it easier to access? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the report. Mind you, I really wish to make follow-up on the issue of shale gas, that how far it is. We are on which phase now in terms of the progress. Our target for mapping is 150 and more. But in my view is that the more you get lesser amount, I think we need to stagger our work, maybe to go a little bit down, so that we are able to cater for that. So I think we must change our plan in the meantime, and then we take how far it's going to take us, and then we apply for another month. Those are those issues. Yeah. Thanks.
Honorable Matlala, your dream raising your hand, but allowing you from your dreams.
Yeah, sure, Chair. I'm here to work. thank you, Chair. You see, Mr. Mabuza, you have raised an important issue with regard to your budget. which you can't implement all your programs that you are dreaming of because of the budget constraint. But here, Mr. Mabuza, I'm not sure. This thing was reported some 3 years from 2004 for sure up until today. The issue of mine closure, the department, yourself, you are reporting about these things. And for sure, in terms of this closure of mines, the relic and ownerless ones, you see, that's where you're spending much of your budget on this issue. I'm not quite sure. But you are saying you continue closing of unsafe mines. I'm not sure as to whether, but maybe I'm not interpreting these things correctly, but in my own understanding is that you are on closing of these derelict and ownerless mines. Is it not the department, the DMR's responsibility on closing of these mines? Because if you are continuing to do the same thing, it's parallel. It's you or the department, but much of your money is going to spend on these things. That's why you are not going to make sure that you implement the programs that you are in the session to do. So I wanted to check, but it might be the responsibility of the DG or the department here in terms of giving me a correct answer. Because these things is long that we've been discussing seriously. People who came here in South Africa to mine, they've left these mines open. And I'm not quite sure as to whether it's the responsibility of the South African government or the DMR to continue closing these mines, because these people must be held responsible. Those are the ones who must come back and make sure that they close all these unsafe mines in our country. Because if you continue taking our small monies that we have and close these mines, of course you must do something. But the reality is that that is the responsibility of those big bosses, to make sure that they close these ownerless and derelict mines. It's not it's our concern, of course. I'm not quite sure whether you might be able to answer this question, but the responsibility of people who must close the mines are those ones. In relation to maybe the department, of course, might take the lead. I'm not quite sure, Chair, as to whether is it possible that maybe such people, the department must be given the responsibility, of course, to headhunt some of these guys who did the wrong things in our country, those who dig our gold and left the open mines for these open mines to kill our people. Maybe we must check the next meeting. Maybe next year, Chair, maybe. I'm not sure. But sure next year. That we might get a report from the minister, the DG, and those who are responsible in dealing with the closure of mines in the country. Because these things, even if after 2019, the same report will come here to say we are concerned about the closure of mines, and there is no budget to close all the mines in one year or 2 years. We don't have such a budget. If we are going to spend the whole budget on closure of the mines, it means some of the programs here must be compromised. We are not going anywhere. It's a merry-go-round. It's like we are kids. So I'm not sure. But let's check, Chair, as to whether can the department take that responsibility by the next financial year. Next year, or the two coming financial years, these things must be a closure. We must close this issue of the derelict and ownerless mines. People must have the responsibility. We are not here to sleep on the jobs. We are working. We can't go to my constituency from time to time and tell them about the closure of the derelict and ownerless mines. There are lots of such mines where I come from. It's a painful, very painful. Shallow. Those things are killing our people, in particular our kids. So that is the responsibility. We are giving this department the responsibility to check as to whether who is actually responsible to close all this and the Redig and Olala's mines. We must also check and involve the Chamber of Mines, Chair. Those are the big boys that they must take into consideration on the closure of this Redig and Olala's mines. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for the questions. I'll take a first bite, and I will ask my colleagues to also assist. honorable Schmidt, in terms of the provisions that are held in abeyance,
present. Okay.
So in terms of the provisions that were held in abeyance, particularly the, I think the one that you alluded to, if I heard you correctly, is the geotech, the review and evaluation of all geotechnical reports, correct?
It was basically the last one, but you can do that one as well.
Oh, so the appointment of Geotechnical Appeals Committee. So the functioning of the Geotechnical Appeals Committee requires for the committee to exist and to be capacitated. And for it to be able to function, we had made a determination that there shall be financial requirements. And I think it was in the order, in our preliminary determination, it was in the order of a few tens of millions per annum. And clearly with the picture that we presented, that of a no-growth scenario, with a growing shortfall, that would have led to us perishing in the next 10 years. So, unfortunately, all of them do have financial implications, and the fundamental reason why they were held in abeyance was nothing else other than financial consideration. And on the predictability of seismic events, I'll give it the first step, but Madame Grobler will assist me as well when I finish at the end. In my presentation, I talked about the shift towards fourth industrial revolution, particularly the applications of artificial intelligence. And perhaps to explain what we mean is that with cell phones today, we've taken a lot of pictures, and you can actually have a picture with your face. You go in and you identify a picture with your face, and it will go to the database of pictures, and it will identify all the pictures, whether alone or in a group, that has your face, and it will group all of those together. That is artificial intelligence. This hasn't been applied before. We are working with exploring this with the Department of Science and Technology, and they are bringing us two PhDs in artificial intelligence who will assist us, because we have the data. So the data will be like your face, and they will put it through this iterative computerized model, and we don't know what the outcomes would be. But what we are hoping for is that that will substantially improve our predictive capability. Again, in research, I wish I could say to you, Honorable Schmidt, that we can deliver this in March next year. We understand it's a priority, but we've got to allow the science to unfold. So in the mining areas, we have increased the seismic stations, so our coverage and the quality of data that is coming out is better.
We are working in collaboration with Mine Health and Safety Council, and it has been, in our view, a very good collaboration, and we are already looking at expanding and shifting from the gold mines into the platinum mines, because our platinum mines are already growing deeper, and it is important that we start collecting the data now, not like the gold industry where we started collecting the data too late. So that is progressing, and it's progressing well, but it's research and it's taking a little bit longer than we would wish. But it is something that we would plead for that support, for us to continue to be supported, because we think we'll mine for the next 150 years. And so if we're going to mine for the next 150 years, we might as well gain a greater and deeper understanding of the correlation between seismicity and the fall of grounds and the safety in the mines. And I personally think we'll crack it. It's just a matter of time. On the 22% allocation, yes. It is 22% of what we requested, but it is 22% of what we didn't have. And so when you look at it that way, we may say, and we cannot pretend that we don't understand the fiscal constraints. We have a very small and constrained fiscus. And so if the possibilities exist for us to invest more in this national investment, we think it will be great for the country. If opportunities exist for rate to be higher than the 22%, that will be wonderful and we can deliver faster. But our excitement derives from the fact that the preliminary allocation is a 22% more than what we didn't have. And for that, we are grateful. In terms of the question of Honorable Lorimer, the one in 50,000 scale, I would also give it a shot and I will ask Meshelembe to augment at the end. What we have done is, remember I said we've been sending our creme de la creme geologists to commercial projects. Some of the countries in the continent have mapped already at one in 50,000. Our very neighbor here in Namibia was mapped by CGS effectively at 1 in 50,000. And the very Australia has a 10-year mapping plan at 1 in 50,000. And you already know their share of the global exploration, which is at around 17% on average over the past 10 years. And in fact, 30 years ago, they were sitting at below 2%. And that correlation between geoscientific information and the level of investment is there. So in the study that we have done, we have seen clearly the correlation between the 1 in 50,000 and the requisite quality of geological information to the extent that it informs exploration activities far more readily. You compromise that by 1 in 100,000, then we are delaying development again. So perhaps instead of dropping the scale, we would rather, I think, as the Honorable Pikinini was saying, would rather say instead of doing this in 10 years, maybe let's do it in 20 years. So take longer, but let's do it at the right scale. The only concern is that in 15, 20 years' time, the industry might be requiring 1 in 10,000 scale. So the longer you take, the more the requirements and the fundamentals change. So it will be good if we can bite the bullet as a country and do it at this scale. I'm actually very surprised at the advice that you were given by the Australians. But on the shale gas boreholes, we're intending to drill one deep borehole and three shallow. So the shallow is between 3 and 700 meters depth. And this is to test the quality of water. As you correctly said, there is a lot of uranium in that area. We already have a relationship with NEXA to test the samples as they come out, the radioactive exposure of the water, so that we have a baseline studies. So we haven't started drilling yet. Our intention is to start with the shallow holes for water, and once we have concluded that, we'll shift into the deep hole of 4 kilometers depth, and that we intend to start in the next financial year. No, we have not changed what we have sited as boreholes. The original ones that we sited based on available information and the geology, the temptation is there to go all geological, but we have considered the dolerite dikes, the deep of the dolerite, and the extent to which dolerite exposure would have reduced the potential of shale gas and so on. So the original sited borehole, the deep borehole, remains where it was. There is no shifting of the borehole for uranium extraction considerations. I think on the complaint of junior miners, we accept that. We know that information. We have not been able to make information readily available. We are busy with the data policy. It's important, particularly with the new responsibility that we are taking, that we are going to accept information of prospecting, active prospecting and active mines. It's important that that information, the owners of that information, can have confidence in the Council for Geoscience and know that their information is not compromised. So we've got to be clear on what information can be made available, and we can communicate that consistently to all South Africans. And we can tell South Africans what information is not available over what period, and we can explain to them why this information is not available. And that's what this data policy that we are busy with. And then our technocrats have just come back from a technical visit in Canada, and the chairman and I are going to visit Botswana soon, so we can look at how we know, for instance, that in Botswana they keep geological information for 5 years, and after 5 years then they make it available, some for free, some at a particular cost. So there's a number of variables that you've got to make to consider. Now, what tends to happen is that everybody comes and says, we know that company X has done some work in this area and we want that information. And we say, oh, wait a minute. Until we can be properly guided by this data policy, and we are really rushing it because we understand the importance of this information to development broadly. I think, Honorable, beginning on the shale gas, our part is the science evidence, is the drilling of the shallow holes to test the quality of the water, well, to test availability and quality of the water. So assuming that we get those two right, I mean, in that Beaufort area, it's a very dry area. It would be great if we can obtain water. We are working with municipality there, and if we find it, that water can be made available for consumption by the surrounding communities. Of course, the worst-case scenario is if you find there's water and that water is radioactive, then there's got to be other solutions that are explored. But the far worst scenario is there's no water. But that's what we are going to drill, and I think the plan is to have those holes drilled before the end of this financial year, the shallow holes, before we go into the deep holes in the new financial year. And I think I have explained on the target of mapping. So there are choices we've got to make as a country, and those choices will be informed by the extent to which the country considers geology important to its development mantra. And so this is not final allocation, it's a preliminary allocation, and there's still possibilities of upward consideration, notwithstanding all other pressures. And if that happens, I think that would be fantastic for the country, not just for the CGS. And indeed, Honorable Matlala, our dream is here. But I do want to take you to slide... What slide is this now? Slide 25, sir. So, in slide 25, but before I even talk to slide 25, yes, rehabilitation is the work of the department. And so what the department has done is it has tasked the CGS and MINTEC to execute the rehabilitation on its behalf. And so we have an agreement of, you know, we are working in a structure championed by the department, and us as CGS and MINTEC, you know, we are very clear on what our roles are in that space. So the recent example is that one in Springs of that five-year-old that fell and fatally so into a hole. So there are those considerations that you can say, yeah, let's go and look for the owner of this mine. While you're looking for them, children are falling in those mines. So where the risk is very, very high, perhaps we can say that it's important for us to do the responsible thing as government. But to the extent that, you know, all rehabilitation is a liability of the state, I don't think that will be correct. And not all rehabilitation can and should be the responsibility of state. But there is work, I know, under this structure that we are doing with the department to look at the legalities of liability. Whose liability is it really? And we are linking that to land ownership. Because you would recall that at some stage, the ownership of the land came as a package with the minerals at the time that this DNO was created. And so it would have been created by the land owner, not necessarily by the state. Those are the preliminary considerations. So where the state owns the land has become a priority of rehabilitation of this program. But the reason I was bringing you to slide 25 was to say that it is not an abnormally high amount of money that consumes all our budget. Under mine rehabilitation project, you would see that there's $42 million that is allocated. And then there is a readjustment under the expanded public works program of $1 million. So on average, you're looking at 43-odd million rands per annum allocated to CGS for the rehabilitation of these sites of high risk to communities. And there is a lot of them. There's a lot of them, and so. But I think the lead we will take from the department in terms of the policy instruments that, you know, can be invoked to address this matter. I think I have dealt with all the questions, barring the two that I have asked the colleagues to assist me with. I'll start with Mekhobla.
Thank you, CEO. Yes, we've been collaborating very closely with Mine Health and Safety Council. We've been, our main objective, we've been doing it in phases, basically. So our main objective was to really put all these dense networks in the mining regions so that we can collect good data, good quality data that we can use to do research on. Then during that phase, we were also doing a quality check on the quality of the data. We've been comparing it with the in-house data in the mines themselves. So we've been doing a lot of quality checks to see if our data is actually reliable and of good quality, and we're very happy with the quality. So our next phase, yes, is definitely now that we've now built a nice, decent database from which we can do research and do this artificial intelligence to see if there's any kind of pattern, to do a pattern recognition kind of software or application. Now we've got a good, decent database to work from where we can then have a good number of samples to work on. So that is definitely our next phase, and which, again, we're working together with the Mine Health and Safety Council on this very thing. Okay.
Thank you. I think the CEO has said a lot. There's very little to add. It is true that 1 in 50,000 scale is a sensible scale to map geoscience. It also depends what we are looking for. We must remember that maps, geological maps, are not only used for minerals. They are also used for looking at infrastructure, whether the ground is suitable. So we can use them for a wider range of applications. And so in our view, 1 in 50,000 scale is a decent scale to work on. In other places, we might even need to go down to 1 in 25,000 or 1 in 10,000, depending on what exactly we want to look at. Of course, if we go finer, then we need to spend a lot more. But 1 in 50,000 is a sensible platform to work on, considering the things that we want to look at. I think the CEO has also elegantly answered the questions on shale gas. We haven't started drilling yet. We are in the package of drill holes that we are planning, there are also monitoring holes to monitor groundwater and also to monitor the possibility of any shale gas there. In terms of progress, we have managed to do a decent amount of work in terms of environmental baseline study, so we are moving into a second phase of now drilling, as the CEO is saying, that we will start in the next financial year. So we are moving along in a fairly acceptable pace. Otherwise, I think the CEO has answered the questions very well.
Honorable Chair, the last thing is and related to seismicity, is that we are already in conversation with Mine Health and Safety Council to start installation of seismic stations around the areas where there's potential for shale gas, so that monitoring can happen much, much earlier, because that information is important to collect well in advance, so that by the time there are certain developments, the predictive capabilities are already built as part of the extraction method that can be prescribed, methods, frequency, proximity of operations, and so on and so forth. So already moving from what has been a tragic experience of seismic activity in the gold mines, that we only came in at a very late stage, we are moving into the platinum, and we are already planning ahead with the possibilities of shale gas development into the future. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm going to go to DG. Yes, giving protection. No, look, we will come to this issue of the seismic event and the work that still has to be done. The difference between some of us who are doing political work and those who are doing the actual dirty job is that we are still not yet convinced. It seems a little bit of a little bit casual. So when we come, we will be able to say specifically what we want. You'll understand the difficulty that we are sitting here is that it's a practical work to say can't predict, you can't do what. But on the other side, we are sitting with a law that says someone has got a right to refuse to do dangerous work. And we have to measure the two. At what point do I see that it's dangerous work in a context where you say it can't be predictable, can't be predicted? So we have to deal and find a way to get around those issues. But we do have a way that we think when we come to you, we will be able to say in that collaboration specifically. And probably, and the reason we say it's not necessarily just a research. It must have an element of a study. Let's look at a comparative exercises that we talk about. But as I said, we'll come later. I want us to go to the next presentation, but let me just say with my observation, I don't think see, the problem with the parliamentary committees is that it's so difficult to close work. Out of that work, something else emerges. You ask for 1.8 billion per annum, ne? And you got You see? Now, we have not reached a point to say, and it's not an underestimation. Of what you have got, but we should be able to arrive at a point of saying, with the 1.8 over a period of 10 years, what is it that we'll be doing, and what is it that we intended to cover, with the reduction of from that 1.8. Which is what you said is 22%. What is it that you must cut in order to come to 22% in terms of your performance projection? We have to arrive at that point. I'm raising this thing because we must all take political duty from a committee's point of view. And it's not that one of fighting, even when there's no need to fight. But it's that one that should then say, and I'm in denial of the budgetary constraints. But the problem is that in your budgetary constraints, if there is no deliberate action that is taken in order to expand what is in the kitty, that may also be something that is fatal, because you may not meet your intended objective simply because you have to move from the higher level of what you had projected to a lower level. So we'll have to look at, I'm not saying they must take that money back, please, but I'm just saying, would you make the impact you intended to have with 22% allocated? So it actually means from your projection of in total, you have now to work on the basis of a 22%. Will it make that intended difference that we want to do, which we may then have to come back and say you require a revised exercise that says, well, what you have, For an example, that 22%, that we have to check whether with this extended allocation, I hear you talk about there's this word that you is going all right. It's not what your geologist, what is who ne fronting before the geologist. No, these are with passion, not Susan, the geologist, but yes, you see. So we must look at that creme de la creme, whether that creme de la creme will be able to meet the standards, whether this, as it comes in, it is an additional task in terms of personnel. So I don't think we've reached that point to say, because sitting here, I might just say, well, this 22% could be only on the basis that you want to deal with this as a specialized project. And if it is not a specialized project, would it achieve the intended objective? So I think we need to get a way to deal with that issue. But we will find a way when we have dealt with the department on its own, not since. I don't understand. You don't have since, DJ. But we will have to be able, because also that 22% might be necessary, depending how ready will the department respond also on the extensive work that you are supposed to be doing, so that we don't do also high capacity. We will have a discussion another day, Mr. Mabuza. I don't agree with you that, what is this word that you use? You are not a... We never said you must be. By the way, we want you to be a public entity. Yes. So that is why we want that work from you. Because sometimes there can be a misinterpretation when we say you are not an exploration company. You are a state exploration public entity. And I'll tell you why I say so. Because also, once you become a state entity, we are going to have a problem. Sometimes state entities, they only respond to the state, not to the interest of the public. But it's another political debate again for another day. Honorable Schmidt, I wanted to close, but...
I'll be short, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I know that the department doesn't have, and particularly CGS, has very little input about the mining Pakisa. So I'm not going to ask you why the mining Pakisa and the results are not available. That, you said, a discussion for another day. But I do seem to get the impression that from the answers, although it wasn't said, that the development of the technology concerning seismic events is progressing along the lines of artificial intelligence. But do I get the impression that CGS is doing it alone? You know, I seem to recall a stage where big mining houses were predominantly responsible for the mining investment in technology, in mapping, in all those kind of issues. I don't seem to find a reference to saying, listen, we're doing this in concert with that newly established undertaking down in Auckland Park, I think it is. What do they call it? Sorry? Mining check, yeah. Somewhere down Auckland Park, down in Melville, somewhere there. But is CGS going it alone? Because the enormity of the event does seem to indicate that there needs to be a combined approach. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We will deal with that issue when we arrive at it. There is time that is coming. But I thought you did say that they are working also with the Mine Health and Safety Council, but I'm sure there will still be more that could be done with other research institutions. Can we take a 10-minute break? 10 past, DG, you start. Do it like Mabuse on the beautiful hours. Don't wait for me.
Thank you.